We've come to worship our God this morning, to lift Him up and to praise Him and ask for His strength and His guidance, His presence and His power in our lives and the lives of our graduates. So let's be reminded this morning of our great God. Listen to these words from Psalms that call us into worship today. The Lord is a great God. He is a great King above all gods. The Lord is great and He is highly praised, for He is to be feared above all gods. He is exalted above all the peoples. The Lord is gracious and He is compassionate, slow to anger and great and faithful in His love. Our Lord is great and vast in power. His understanding is infinite. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Let's praise that mighty, great, and loving God this morning as we worship together.
We welcome you to our time of worship. There is always opportunity for you to share with us your prayer concerns, anything that you would like the ministers and me to join alongside you during the week in prayer. Please share on the tab of this worship bulletin. Also, if you are one of our guests and you've been worshiping with us, or you've ventured into one of our Bible study groups along the way, and you are interested in more information about how to connect and be a part of our church family, you can so note on the front of that tab. Give us your contact info and we will give you a phone call, touch base with you, answer questions. If you would like for us to visit with you, we'll be glad to do so. Also, during the course of this week, we have several ministry opportunities and opportunities for you to be ministered to. Not only the scheduled activities, but note that on Wednesday evening, our children and preschool choirs will be sharing in here. We want to encourage everyone to come back this Wednesday evening. It begins at 6 o'clock. There will be an ice cream fellowship following. So put in your order. Use the tab of your bulletin to put in the order of your favorite ice cream, okay? And we'll see if we can't accommodate some of your choices, okay? Can we do that, Brother John?
Oh, I don't know
about that. Well, it's a good thought, okay? You come and be with us Wednesday evening. And also, we will be hosting the Mississippi All-State Youth Choir and Orchestra this summer. In the month of June, on June 15th, it's a Thursday evening, and we still need some families to host some of the students. Allow them to bed down in your house for that evening. Give them a little something for breakfast the next morning. Bring them back here so they can make their way to their next concert site. But if you're willing to help us host some of the students and chaperones, please take one of these sheets, complete the information, and return it to us. They are located out here at the information table, and you can pick this up if you are able to help us this summer. We need some help, and I'm confident that you will come through. Well, this is a very special day. We have some graduates that we're going to recognize in just a bit. I want to say to the parents and grandparents and family of our graduates, congratulations. You've worked hard for this. And my prayer is that the next several years will go well for you and that you can get accustomed to them being at work, at school, or wherever. But today, we're going to enjoy them. Why don't we take just a moment to greet one another in the love of the Lord before we begin? Let's stand together and welcome one another to the house of the Lord.
Good morning. Well, it's that time of the year again. Isn't it great? Some of you graduating parents are going, no, it's not. I understand. Before we bring attention to these high school graduates, I want to give some other possible graduates a chance to be recognized. We set aside today to recognize our high school graduating seniors, but there are some other ones out there that may not get recognized, so we want to give you a chance at this time. If you are are or have graduated this year with your Associate of Arts junior college graduation. Would you please stand and be recognized? Is there anyone here? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Is there anyone that's graduating with their bachelor's degree this year? That's here. We have been notified of three: Ryan Young, Garrett LaRosa, and Lakeland Taylor. And Katie DeMetz. Yes, yes, absolutely. Is there anyone graduating with their master's degree or any degree, master's and up, before you get to your doctorate? That's Kim, all right. Is there anyone in here graduating with your doctorate this year? If you'll notice on our bulletin, we have Deloney, Rose, Wren, is that right? Say again?
Wren.
With a doctorate in pharmacy.
Ooh, wow.
Awesome accomplishment. At this time, we have a very special memory and treat for you. I'm going to direct your attention to the screen. Before we get these graduates up here to tell you who they are, where they're going next year, all that wonderful stuff, there are some other people in their life that deserve a hand. Let's give a hand for these parents. At this time, graduates, please stand. Come on around and line up, and they're going to tell you who they are, where they went to school. We all have just Long Beach graduates this morning, but and what their plans are for the fall. So, Paul, come on down.
I'm Paul Brown. I'm graduating from Long Beach High School and going to JD.
I'm Kobe Quave. I graduated from Long Beach High School. I'm going to JCJC. To study electrical engineering.
AJ Scafidi, graduated from Long Beach High School, and I'll be attending MGCCC.
I'm Hunter Billingsley, going to JD, and I graduated from Long Beach.
I'm Nora Holland. I'm graduating from Long Beach High School, and I'm attending USM.
I'm Lindsay Campbell, and I'm graduating from Long Beach High School and attending the University of Southern Mississippi for nursing.
I heard someone say this past week about Senior Sunday and how we always give Bibles. And they said, it's kind of weird. We give them a Bible on their way out. And we're not giving you your Bible on the way out. We're giving you your senior Bible because we know that you already have one. But this is one that will last you a long time. It's the English Standard Version Bible. And we pray that you will read it and live by it and just honor the Lord with your life. At this time, we're going to continue in worship. Graduates, Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy was like his son in the spirit. He loved Timothy. Timothy was a young man, had so much potential, and had committed himself to the Lord. And had actually been walking alongside, learning alongside, and serving with the Apostle Paul. And Paul shared with Timothy these words. He said, concerning the scripture, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction, training, that the man of God may be complete,
thoroughly equipped for every good work. Earlier, Paul shared a word that led up to his challenge to Timothy that I just shared concerning Scripture. And here's what he said to Timothy. He said, Timothy, study this word to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that has no need of being ashamed. Graduates, I challenge you this morning, embrace the Word of God. Allow it to be your shield of defense and your counsel as you move forward. Take advantage. Seize the moment to tap into the riches of your Creator. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful to you for this opportunity to pause and recognize the achievements of so many people. Father, all across our land, churches and communities are celebrating the graduation, the culmination of a long period of study and discipline and training of so many who have achieved that point of completion and are ready to move to the next step of life, the next level of engagement in real world living. Father, I pray that you would be with our graduates and that you would be with not only these here this morning, but those who are all across the land. Father, raise up a people who will love you, who will embrace you sacrificially, that they might know you and the power that you bring to life. We need you, Father. And we need the power and the guidance and the wherewithal that you bring to us. And so, Father, we ask you to bless. Bless every desire of the heart that is focused upon you and our graduates. Lord, I pray that you would give them clarity of thought as they anticipate the direction they will go in their life. And I pray, Father, that whatever vocation they choose, for whatever work they prepare, Lord, allow them to see this as their mission field, as the place that you want them to be on mission with you, sharing you with others every opportunity they have. Father, I pray for the families of our graduates. I thank you for the sacrifice that they have made for their children, for their graduates to achieve this milestone in their lives. And Lord, as we move forward, allow us this morning to set aside every concern and care that we have that would distract us from you. And let us worship you. Let us renew our devotion to you. Father, give to us a hunger, a heart, a thirst for you that would bring renewed passion, renewed devotion, renewed focus in our lives upon you. We're here for you, Father. Now speak as we worship together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So many times when we meet one of someone graduating from college or high school, we ask the question, so where will you go from here? And I'm suggesting to you this morning, that is probably not the question we need to be asking our graduates. I want to submit to you that the important thing is not where they're going from here, but how they will go from here. So, how will you go from here? That's the question for this morning. And God's Word gives us an example of one who had had made some life choices, good choices, some were not so good. It is the Apostle Peter. And I invite you to join me in John's Gospel, the 22nd chapter. We're going to look at several verses there in that last chapter of John's Gospel, but I want us to focus on the first, the verses 2 and 3 to begin our focus this morning. So if you have your copy of God's Word, John chapter 21, look with me at verse 2 and 3. The scripture reads, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. That night, they caught nothing. So here we find the disciples apparently held up, recluse themselves in this house, pulled aside. And Peter obviously is either hungry or bored, one of the two. Sounds like a teenager, doesn't it? Hungry or bored? Mom, I want to do something. And so Peter and the disciples, those who were present, they decide to go fishing. And so they immediately go outside. Apparently, they were right close by the water. They got in the boat and they fished all night and caught nothing. Isn't that the way things go so often? You fish all day or all night, you catch nothing. Well, that's just the beginning of this story. This is just the beginning of a story that gives to us some very important life lessons. And I said to our graduates and to you that the question that we probably ought to be asking is not where will we go from here, but how will we go from here? And so I ask you that simple question, graduates, moms, dads, for all of us, how will you go? How will you live your life from this point forward? How will you go? In this passage of scripture, we're going to see where the Lord confronts Peter, and he asks him some questions. Now, I want to ask you to consider life's challenges, overwhelming challenges, life's interruptions, interruptions that come when we least expect it or need it. How will you deal with overwhelming challenges and unanticipated interruptions of life? How will you deal with it? There are principles in this passage of scripture, principles that our Lord reveals to us through his communication and dialogue with Peter that will help us understand how best to go from here. How to move forward in our life. How to move forward in a way that will bring good. A way to move forward that will give us opportunity to realize the potential that God has created for each one of us. How will you move forward? Well, I want you to consider with me three principles for going forward in your life. And they're right here in this passage of scripture. And so I ask you to consider with me, first of all, the first principle is don't give up. Don't give up. In the story, it continues. And it, in verse 4, it says, but when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered him, no. And so Jesus said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast the net, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Isn't that the way things go? You do life your way, and you pursue life your way, and you see no benefit. And then here comes someone and offers a simple suggestion. Why don't you throw your net on the other side? Cast your net on the other side, the right side of the boat. And so they did. And all of a sudden they have more fish than they can bring in. If there is a lesson to be learned here, it is this. Don't give up. Don't be a quitter. You understand, Peter, by example, did give up. We find in the story of Peter's life, a man who had made some very good choices. The Lord had invited him to follow, and Peter did follow him. The Lord had given Peter many opportunities to see and experience the power of God in beautiful and amazing ways. And Peter had seen the hand of God. Peter had experienced the power of God. Peter had seen what God could do through obedience and surrender through the life of the Lord Jesus. And Peter chose to follow. And Peter was a leader among the group. Peter was one who was out front. He was outspoken. He would outrun. He was one who was out front in many ways. He would speak up when others were pondering. Peter was the one who made the great confession, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was Peter who stood up, stepped up. So many times. And Peter actually had boasted that there's no way that he would ever abandon the Lord. He had pledged his loyalty and love to the Lord. He did so many things so right. And yet, Peter also failed. He is seen as one who boasted of loyalty. But when the heat and when the pressure came, he abandoned the one to whom he pledged loyalty. Now, what about you? In this passage of Scripture, the story continues, but if you move too fast, you will miss things that are so important. For example, reflecting on Peter's life, let me share with you a couple of passages. In John's Gospel, chapter 6, listen to verse 66. It says, "From that time, many of Jesus' disciples went back. They abandoned him and walked with him no more. And then Jesus said to the 12, in the midst of whom was Peter, 'Do you also want to go away? Will you also leave me?'" Graduates, this is the question the Lord's asking you. So many people have gathered around the Lord, and so many people worship him today, but he's asking you, in light of so many graduates, high school graduates who abandon the church, they move into, you know, to college and abandon the church. They no longer worship the Lord. They are living life for themselves. He's asking you, will you abandon me too? Are you going to walk away also? And then Peter answered. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" He asked, "Where would we go? We've abandoned all to follow you." And then he says, "You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter acknowledges once again what and who he believed Jesus to be. Says, "Nope, I'm not going to leave you." Go a few chapters further into the story of our Lord, and you pick up in chapter 13, down in verse, let me find it here. Peter says to Jesus, "You will never wash my feet," he says. And Jesus said to Peter, "If I do not wash your feet, you have no part of me." Peter said, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." And he went on talking about the who's going to betray him. And listen, further down, Jesus predicts his death. And in verse 36, Simon Peter said, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." You see the boasting of our man, Peter? I wonder how many of us have boasted of what we would do and how we would never abandon the one who gave his life for us, and how we are going to live loyally and be totally devoted to him. And for the balance of our life, we're going to demonstrate our gratitude for what Christ did at Calvary, only to find ourselves out of fellowship, having walked away, having become occupied with other stuff to the extent that we're no longer with the faithful. And so we have Peter here, who three times denied the Lord. The very thing he said he would not do, he did. And in this passage of Scripture, one thing we learn is that with the Lord, we should never give up. Because here is a man who comes out of hiding, makes his way to the boat where he is comfortable, and gets in the boat, goes fishing, has a bad night, catches nothing, only to be called by the Lord, approached by the Lord, and asked, "Hey guys, do you have anything to eat?" And they said, "No." He said, "Cast your net on the other side," on the right side. And what did they do? Well, they did what was suggested. And what happened? Immediately, God blessed those men. And friends, when you feel like giving it up, and just going back to work, just going off and doing whatever you want to do, it's whatever you find to do, I hope you will remember, in the midst of your failure, in the midst of your brokenness, don't give up, and God will bless you. God will come to you, and he will meet your need. God wants to do a work in your life. He wants to do a work through your life. And graduates, if you will not give up on the Lord, he will do that work through you. But you must do what he says do. Do you think they would have caught the fish had they not thrown the net, cast the net on the right side of the boat as instructed? No. No. You give up, and you do lose. Don't give up. Press forward. The story continues with Peter. And the next principle that we see in this passage is, don't get the big head. Don't let yourself swell with pride because of who you think you are. Sometimes we think we look good. Sometimes we think we are strong. Sometimes we think we've got it under control. Sometimes we just think more highly of ourselves than we should. Now, you may look good to some people, and you may have it under control for a moment, and you may be able to handle things for a moment, but I can assure you there are things that you will face that will be far beyond your ability to address. All of us will be there. And so God is wanting to teach us that we don't need to swell with pride and allow ourselves to be destroyed. Look at the passage of Scripture. Continue with me in verse 15. You look down at verse 15 and you have the Lord approaching Peter, asking him some questions. Verse 15, so when they had eaten breakfast, the fish that the Lord had prepared for them, and when they had eaten the breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, son of John, do you love me more than these? Talking about the men there, the other disciples. Do you love me more than these other disciples? And what is Peter's reply? He says to the Lord, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Well, then he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter replied, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, tend, pasture my sheep. And then he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And so he replied, Lord, you know all things. You know how I love you. Then Jesus said, feed my sheep. Why would Jesus ask Peter three times, do you love me? Peter had just denied Jesus three times. Have any of you ever abandoned the Lord? Have any of you ever denied that you were a follower of Jesus by the way you talked or behaved or what you did? You denied any devotion and loyalty to the Lord. Well, let me ask, what do you do when you have failed? Well, I can assure you of this. You may run, you may hide, but God pursues. And God will not stop. He has a relentless pursuit for you because His heart is so in love with you. He values you as a person, and He knows the potential you have. And so you have failed. You have abandoned. You've gone shipwrecked. Well, Peter had too. And what God wants us to understand is that if you will not give up, and if you will not allow yourself to swell with pride to the point that you are unusable to the Lord, God will take you and He will bring you back to Himself. That's what He wants to do. That's what He's doing with Peter. Three times He asked, do you love me? Because three times Peter had denied his love for Jesus. Three times Peter said, no, I'm not one of his. No, I do not know him. Three times Jesus asked, Peter, do you love me more than these men? And he gave to Peter with each response, from Peter, Lord, you know I love you. With each response, Jesus gave him a task, a purpose. Could I say to you, friend, it doesn't matter how many times you fail the Lord, He will forgive and He will put you back on mission if you will embrace Him. Now, students, I'm using you to talk to everybody else. Okay? But graduates, there will be times when you fail yourself. You will not be pleased with yourself, and you know God's not pleased. What are you going to do? Let me challenge you. Don't throw in the towel. Don't abandon the Lord. Don't give up. Come back to Him with an humble spirit. Don't let yourself swell with pride for your achievements to the point that you abandon the source of life and help. Peter, Peter boasted and Peter burned. Have you been there? Boasted to burn. But what does the scripture tell us? Listen to this word of wisdom. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil or the plunder with the proud. The scripture states further in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Listen to this word. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Graduates, don't think you're above a break, a fall. Stay humble. Embrace the Lord. There's one last lesson I want to emphasize in this passage of Scripture, and it is simply stated, don't get distracted. Because after the Lord had shared with Peter and had confronted him at the point of his break, of his burn, of his fall, and given to him a task and put him back on mission, Peter immediately turns his thoughts to someone else. Look at the text. In verse 20, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. He's talking about John, the penman of the Gospel of John. And he saw him and it was John that had leaned over on the breast of Jesus and asked the question, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Well, Peter, looking at John, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And what does Jesus say? If I desire that he remains till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Don't get distracted. In other words, it's like the Lord wants you to do something. The Lord has called you and gifted you for a task. And for whatever reason, you are looking at other people and you're wanting to know, well, what about them? What are they going to do? And the Lord simply says to us, don't worry about others. If you'll focus on yourself, and if you will do what I've told you to do, you're going to be blessed. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't get distracted. Graduates, let me ask you, when you walk and receive that diploma, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your life? Are you going to allow college life to become play? Is it going to be a big party? Or will you apply yourself and discipline yourself to become the young men and young ladies that God has created you to be? Are you going to pursue God's mission for you, a vocation where you can engage a world on mission for the Lord God? Or will you spend the next few years abandoning the Lord, pursuing whoever suggests, and waste your life? What will you do with your life? Don't make the common mistake. Don't you give up on the Lord. Don't get the big head with your achievements. Don't get distracted. It's easy to do. Ask my wife. She says, I have a hypertension, hyperactive, sort of a deficit of attention disorder. HD. What is it? What do you call it? AD, like attention. And D is for what? Deficit. And what else? H, hyperactive disorder. D for this. What is that I have? ADHD. Because she says I get started on one thing and I don't finish it and I go to something else. And I don't finish that until I go to something else. And I don't finish that until I, but I eventually I'll get back to what I was doing. Because she'll call me back. Would you come finish this? If you're like me, it's really easy to see all this stuff that you would like to do. And it's all good. And it's all the stuff that a preacher can do without getting into trouble. But if you don't focus, if you let yourself get distracted, you will never finish or complete anything. My challenge to you graduates, and for all of us, is allow your attention to be directed to our Savior. Attention, direct it to your Savior. Pursue Him, and He will take you far. He will open doors of opportunity that no other person could do. And He will take you far if you will stay focused. Don't get distracted. So, my question is, how will you go from here? And graduates, there are many around you who could say and give testimony that there were times when they did give up. They did quit. There have been times when they did think more highly of themselves than they ought. And there are those around you this morning who would be able to say to you that they have been distracted, but they would also say to you, let's get our act together. Let's get ourselves back together and let's move forward for the good of life and for the glory of our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word that gives to us challenge, that gives to us the opportunity to hear You speak directives for our lives. Lord, I pray for our graduates that You would help each one of them to understand that You have a purpose for them. Lord, I pray for our moms and dads and for all of us here this morning who need to be reminded that we should not give up, that we should not allow ourselves to be distracted, that we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought. But Father, we understand that You are giving to us an opportunity right now to settle once and for all the direction of our life from this day forward. And so Father, as we share in this time of commitment, give to us the courage to approach You again and to give ourselves to You again in brokenness, in repentance and faith, asking that You take us and You make us the people You want us to be. And Lord, we understand that it begins at a point called surrender. So Lord, we surrender to You right now. Lord, take us. Use us as You choose and help us to gladly and willingly yield to You right now the keys to to our heart, the deed to our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.